Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the weekly podcast. Great to have your attention as always. I've been having some adventures. I've been stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm going to talk a bit about comfort zones in this podcast because I went to a two-day course which was really interesting and very helpful. I want to share some of that with you. But I just mentioned a moment ago, comfort zones. There was a great moment in this two-day course where the presenter was talking about comfort zones and made a really interesting point that, you know, comfort zones, even the name we have for them, you know, the name comfort zones suggests obviously that they're comfortable places, places we'd like to be. And one of the points that was made in this course, which was really interesting, was that, you know, comfort zones are not actually comfortable. They're places where we don't grow. They're places where we stay stuck and stay in the predictable and stay stuck in all the problems that we've had for a very long time. So a comfort zone might have the illusion of comfort, but the truth is that really if you're living in it, it's not a comfortable place. It's really not. So that was just a little interesting distinction that, you know, we assume that that's where we want to be a lot of the time, that we want to be in a safe, comfortable place where the truth is that the really powerful stuff that happens to us in life will always happen in those spaces where we're growing and stretching. I flew to another state last week. I was giving a great seminar on purpose. And one of the points I made was about, you know, that the real magic is always happening in that place beyond our current capacity. You know, you will have heard me talk about it a lot, and it's one of those things that, you know, you see on motivational quotes, you know, magic happens outside the comfort zone. But I want to really tell you that it's true, that it's not pleasant and it's not comfortable, but it is true. It's actually true that where you're going to grow in life, where you're going to move through the challenges you have, will be when you put yourself in situations that are difficult and challenging. And the fact is that most people don't do that. The fact is that most people have complex ways of hiding from the difficult stuff. And that was another part of this great course, was just the strategies that we use to avoid difficult circumstances. So at some point, you have to decide what kind of life you really want to have. And the price of admission to a life of contribution, an interesting life, is always going to be about doing things that are difficult and a little bit scary. So I've said that many times, I want you to hear it. So I did this course on what's called acceptance and commitment therapy. You might have heard of it. It's a sub-branch of cognitive behavior therapy. And even that is sort of based on the great big massive scientific research stuff from behavioral analysis. So it was a pretty high-level course, but it was something I've been interested in. And a lot of what I'm sharing with you comes from the seminar I did with Russ Harris. So if you find any of this interesting, check out Russ Harris's work. I want to credit Russ for the key points I'm going to be sharing in this podcast. I don't want to pretend that I invented these. These are from Russ. They're the things that I learned from him over this last few days. I want to share just a couple of the key points. Look, I am no expert in ACT therapy, but the basis of it is that so much of the time, when we have difficult or unpleasant thoughts and feelings, we do one of two things. First thing is that we kick back. We dispute them. We fight against them. We do all this sort of intense, you know, self-talk and try and, you know, we feel stress and we hate what we're feeling and we don't like the thoughts that we're thinking and we push back hard against it. And that creates often anxiety or depression as we sort of just give in and fail and just can't cope with that stuff. But what a lot of us do also is avoidance. So we either push back against thoughts and feelings we don't want to have, or we try and avoid them. Now, the classic ones are food, distraction, busyness, all these different ways that we distract ourselves and avoid the difficult things in front of us. What makes ACT different is this concept of acceptance, which doesn't mean blindly just putting up with a circumstance. It means kind of something much deeper. It means being open to the thoughts and feelings that we're having, accepting them, expanding and opening up to what they're trying to tell us, welcoming them even. And you go, well, how can you do that? How could you welcome a thought or a feeling that you really don't want to have? And of course, that's a great question, but it's basically taking the struggle out of these difficult thoughts and feelings. And there's a lot of work on values, clarifying the values that you have, and then acting in congruence with those values. So this acceptance commitment therapy is kind of like accept the thoughts and feelings that you may not always like. And isn't this part of life? Like, you know, there's a really good part early in the seminar where they sort of say we're sort of mind brainwashed into believing that we should be happy all the time. that, you know, being positive, positive affirmations. And here am I, someone who's done a lot of that stuff. We're sort of trained to think that the default setting in our lives should be optimism and happiness. But I often say to people, you don't want your brain surgeon to be an optimist. And you definitely do not want your airline pilot to be an optimist. You don't. You want them to be pessimists. You want them to be suspicious. You want them to be, you know, overanalyzing. These are the things you want. And the reason is that we've evolved in life to really sort of actually be quite cautious and negative. You know, I've shared this before on previous podcasts. In terms of evolutionary biology and evolutionary psychology, we evolved to scan our environments for threat. So when we were in the caves, remember our brains, Homo sapiens, only really appeared somewhere between 100,000 to 200,000 years ago. So the brains we have are not vastly different to the brains we had back then. So our brains evolved to scan for threat. And so now we have all these sort of more complex threats in our environment that really trigger us. So lots of time we go into avoidance, and you know, we think that we should be positive. We get more frustrated because I'm like, why am I so, you know, why am I not optimistic today? Why am I worried about this? Well, part of it's because your brain's evolved to do that. So what ACT's doing is saying, hey, this is the human condition. This is part of how we are. It's more of like a, you know, they call it functional contextualism, which is like, you know, contextual functionalism, which is what's happening in the real circumstance? What's the behaviors that we're doing? And if you start to realize that we've evolved to deal with these threats, you can understand that being super positive all the time may not be always the best way to go. So basically, ACT is like accept, open up, welcome, expand around the difficult thoughts and feelings, but then just take action in the direction of your values. Even, and this was the biggest breakthrough for me the whole course, was even if you don't feel like it. I thought, before I went in this course, I can honestly say that for most of my life, I thought that the barometer, the checkpoint of knowing if it was the right, something was the right thing to do, was whether I felt good about it. If I felt good about it, then it must have been the right thing to do. So if I didn't want to do something or I wasn't sure and I just was hard work, then I could talk myself out of it. What ACT therapy does is go, you know what, a lot of the time you're going to feel terrible about stuff and it's going to be hard and unpleasant, but can you act with congruence with your values? If you have a value of hard work, but you don't feel like working, rather than fighting these thoughts and trying to force yourself to feel positive, you can go, I don't feel great today. I have these feelings of I don't want to do this today, but I'm still going to act in congruence with my values. So really good stuff. The last thing I want to give you on this, in this short podcast, is a really cool thing that Russ did around fear and the antidote to fear. Now, often we've talked about fear and you've heard the acronym FEAR, F-E-A-R, stands for false evidence appearing real. So a lot of the things we're afraid of is because we talk it up in our minds. But what Russ did in the seminar was a different acronym for fear. I want to take you through that. I'm going to give you the letters, tell you what they stand for, and spin through it quickly. When we experience fear, the first letter F, he says, stands for fusion. Now, this is a big topic in ACT, but fusion is like we become our thoughts or our fears. So this is kind of a core principle of ACT called fusion. So instead of recognizing that you have a thought, you kind of merge with that thought. So imagine it's like, you know, somebody you really care about is rude to you, and you have a thought, and the thought is just, they really don't like me. And in ACT, you'd kind of just accept that thought and, you know, just not even ignore it. You just accept that it's there. And what are your values? And you'd be open to the thought, but you don't fight against it and you don't try to talk yourself out of it. You just recognize that it's there. And then you keep acting in congruence with the values. But the F in fear for this acronym is fusion. We become one with our thoughts. It dominates us. So fusion is simply becoming one with your thoughts and feelings. And you've got to have a little bit of separation. You've got to be able to stand back and look at the thoughts, look at the feelings, and not bind yourself into them. Because once you bind into them, you restrict the actions that you could take. So the E in fear is excessive goals. He says sometimes people are attempting too much. You know, they're trying so hard to create change or do something. They've got massive goals, and that really creates anxiety because they're trying to do too much. So that's F for fusion, E for excessive goals. A is what I've been talking about, avoidance of discomfort. Avoidance of discomfort. And he reckons that's the biggest single issue that most people have. So I want you to hear that. That this guy is a world expert on this stuff, and he's like, the biggest single problem that he sees is people avoiding difficult thoughts and emotions. Now, I want to ask you the question, if avoiding your difficult thoughts and emotions worked, wouldn't it have worked by now? And these difficult thoughts and feelings you sometimes have, they'd be gone by now, wouldn't they? If your strategies worked. But what he kept finding was that if people use alcohol or drugs or sex or the internet, he said people got this short-term relief, but it never solved the difficult thoughts and feelings long-term, and often the avoidance strategies created more problems than they solved. So you can take a bunch of alcohol if you get nervous in social situations, right? You got to go to a party or a dinner, you feel anxious. So you guzzle a bunch of alcohol and the anxiety goes away. But then you've got a bunch of new problems. Firstly, the anxiety will be there next time. It won't disappear. Next time you go somewhere, that anxiety's still going to be there. We didn't deal with it. You've also probably got a hangover. You may have done something crazy. You might have made some bad decisions. You've harmed your health. So you can see that these avoidance strategies don't fix the real problems, and they lead to other new problems. So if you had social anxiety, in the ACT model, you'd accept it. You'd do. You'd go, you know what? I feel anxious. I'm worried that people don't like me. And you'd open up to that and you'd accept it and feel it. You don't have to like it, but you have to notice that it's there and stop fighting against it. And then you begin to look at some strategies, things you could do that would be in congruence with your values. So say you had a value of friendship, or a value of caring for people. And you have social anxiety. Well, you got a problem, right? Because you have this value of caring for people, but you've got social anxiety. So rather than guzzling alcohol when you can't build good relationships, you'd recognize that the feelings are there. You'd recognize that you had a value, and then you'd look at strategies and choices that you could make that would allow you to do what you want to do. But this is really important. You won't feel great about it. This was the thing. Russ kept making the point. He said, would you be willing to accept some short-term discomfort to move you closer to the life you really want? Hear that again. Would you accept some short-term discomfort to move you closer to the life you really want? So a lot of the time people aren't thinking about that. They're just going, I want to avoid the discomfort. I'm going to do X. Rather than going, okay, I've got to accept that I'm going to be uncomfortable. You know, just last week, I flew to another city. I had 1,700 people in the audience. Just before I went on stage, I'm like, holy crap, that's a big audience, 1,700 people. But then I suddenly realized that I have to accept that discomfort. I couldn't make that anxiety go away. That's a big crowd. But, you know, my goal of contribution, my values, my deepest values are in contributing to people's lives are more important than, firstly, not doing the talk at all or avoiding that emotion. You know, I could have drunk half a bottle of scotch before I went on, and it would have got rid of the nerves, but it would have created a whole bunch of other problems. So you can see that we have to accept some discomfort. So I hope that you can hear that, because it's so important. It's so important for me to hear that. That stop thinking that discomfort or some unpleasant thoughts and feelings are a sign you shouldn't be doing what you're thinking of doing. Sometimes they can be just the price of admission if you'll open up and accept them. So we've got F for fusion, E for excessive goals, A for avoidance of discomfort, and R, the last R in this acronym for fear, is remoteness from values, which means that people are trying to change, but they're not really in connection with their deepest values. So they think they should be changing something, or they think they should be doing something, but they don't really feel like it. So we can only really do these things when they're connected to our deepest, deepest values. So let's press on. What he did after that was talking about, you know, this concept of fear. And then he gave us an antidote, which is another four-letter one called DARE, which is really interesting. So I want to share a little bit of this DARE acronym with you. D stands for, instead of the F for fusion, D in DARE stands for defusion. So this is separating yourself out from your thoughts and feelings. And they gave us a ton of strategies to do this. A lot of mindfulness stuff, which is like, you know, connecting yourself to the room, expanding your awareness to feel the wind or notice things in the room. A lot of the time when you fuse with a feeling or a thought, you lose track of things around you. So defusion. And there's a whole bunch of mindfulness strategies you can find out about to just get yourself separated out from the feeling. And I've got to learn this. Sometimes I can get frustrated and I can fuse with my frustration so fast. But defusion would be for me to go, stop, breathe, feel my body, sense the room, concentrate on something that I can really give my attention to and become present. It's about an attachment back to the present moment. So defuse is the first part of the acronym DARE. A is for acceptance of discomfort. I talked about that already in the fear acronym, but it's really important here. Acceptance of discomfort. Accept that the price of higher values and moving at a higher level will be accepting some discomfort. R in DARE is for realistic goals. Remember, we had excessive goals in the FEAR acronym. In DARE, it's like identifying one or two steps that can move you forward. So much of the time as a coach, I had a call, I was in a hotel the other night, somebody rang me from another part of the country. We're talking, and as I'm working with them, I'm constantly thinking, what is the next logical step? What's the next step? What's the next one single step that if they could take would move them forward, and that creates momentum? So realistic goals is, once you know what your values are, once you know what you're afraid of, set some realistic goals in the area of growing. You know, if you've got social anxiety, it might be, I'm going to meet up with somebody once a week. Not, I'm going to ring 10 people every day. Because once you set crazy goals you can't reach, you get frustrated, disillusioned, you give up. So dare, diffusion, A, acceptance, R, realistic goals. And finally, the E was embracing values. You know, really getting connected to the things that are most important to you. Why do you want to do this? Why does it matter? You know, and this values work we did, it was interesting. When you really start to think about your values, it's often quite surprising. I was quite struck by these feelings that I had around, led me to values that I hadn't really clarified. You know, I'd always valued hard work and helping people, but some different ones came through, especially as I thought about values as a father and values as a husband. They really just helped me to clarify some things. So, you know, to live the life you want to live, diffusion from thoughts and feelings, not binding with them, accepting some discomfort, setting realistic goals, and embracing your deepest values. So I hope that's useful. It might take you another direction. Check out Russ's work. It's really interesting. He wrote the book, The Happiness Trap. So you might want to check that out. It's sold 350,000 copies. So check that out. I hope that's useful. A lot of stuff in there. Maybe listen to this a second time. Love you to share it with people. Love you to grab the link and post it on your social media feeds. I'm on SoundCloud now. So if you listen to SoundCloud, come and check me out on SoundCloud. Check me out on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. All the links are somewhere on my website. You can find me on any of those links, Twitter. I'd love to say hi to you there. If you're listening to this at the time it goes out, I've got a small opening for 10 people in my private coaching group. So check, send me an email, send me a message on social if you want to find out about that, because that's closing on Monday and I'm only taking 10 people. So I hope that's useful. Listen to this again. Please share it with people. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast. I hope you liked it. I'm going to share another one with you very soon.